right, let's come back together. Wow, there's a lot of people that were afraid to brave the snow today or something. Think we don't live in Alaska. All right, I kind of wanted the worship team to be back in here before. No, they'll come. I don't know any jokes. I want people to stay. Otherwise, I would sing for you. Yeah, never mind. So I had the privilege of being able to be in Anchorage this Friday and Saturday at a conference there at Unite Church, that Kingdom Alliance, Robert Nell and Arul and Mary Glacier were putting on. It was really, really good. It's always super encouraging to me to go and be with other believers, but also just listening to what the word of the Lord, you know, the prophetic word that's coming forth. Tim Sheets was, I don't know if you know who Tim Sheets is, but he's Dutch Sheets' brother. And if you don't know who Dutch Sheets is, you can look him up. He's an amazing man, and Tim Sheets is equally as amazing. They carry different anointings. But and then Chuck Pierce sent a video of encouragement and a prophetic word for the season, the house for Alaska specifically, which was really cool. A man named Clay Nash, who is from Arkansas, spoke. I had never heard him before, but that was quite amazing as well. Last night there was a man I didn't get to stay and be a part of the last service, but his name is Simon Petrie. Isaac, not Simon, there was another person I met named Simon. Isaac Petrie, he is from Dallas, Texas, and so there was this whole melding pot of prophets and worship teams and apostles, and it was pretty amazing. But one of the things that happened was Rachel was invited to come and paint during the service, and she was able to share. Actually, this painting here, she was finishing at the conference, and so when she brought the paint, the only thing I had seen was the water, the sky, and the mountains, the northern lights. That was all that I saw originally. And then at the conference, she filled in Alaska as the net, and the compass is new as well, which is really cool. But I asked her if she would share, because, you know, it's one thing to look at a painting, and all of us could get various things out of what we see. You could look at this and go, you know, I see this, I see that, I whatever, which, by the way, Rachel painted that as well. But to hear from the artist, the one who God gave the vision to and the prophetic unction to start into this painting, I think is, it gives an entirely different understanding of what is taking place and what God is speaking. But I do want to say, too, that that is important and you need to hear that. But also, you'll find that as you look at any painting, God begins to speak to you a multiplicity of things. But hearing the root, the core desire of what the Lord was speaking in the process of this is super important. So I'm going to invite Rachel to come and share what God was speaking to her when she started this and what she's feeling. There's the worship team. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut your meeting short, but I wanted y'all to be in here. So
like Zach said, these paintings speak to everybody, and God unveils them over time as well. So this week, Sunday night, I was praying and asking the Lord for a word for this conference, knowing that I was asked to paint. And I saw the Lord take a dip net, and all y'all Alaskans who dip net know, the dip net goes in sideways, right? You put it down in the current, or however, and then like that, and then it comes up like this. So I saw the Lord do this, and he put the net down, and when we pulled Alaska up, it was full of fish. And on the top, I saw this big king salmon, and he had stamped right under the fin of his on his backbone, kingdom. And then the fish around them said signs, wonders, and miracles. And I saw the northern lights over the mountains, and I thought, geez, we don't really dip net at night, but okay, Lord. And or in the winter time, right? But I'm like, Lord, okay, this is what I'm seeing. And I started seeing the fish jumping through the waves of the northern lights, and they were like iridescent and green. And as I was painting this morning, I was watching the fish come up and jump through the northern lights out of the water. And so during the process of this painting, the Lord had me bring the lights down into the fish. So they don't really look like salmon because they're green, but they're reflecting the light of the northern lights. And then I saw the Lord this week, which, by the way, I have a lot of supernatural things that happen. And my studio smelled like fish for 2 days. And I'm like, God, please. This is more than I can handle. I get it. It's about the fish. So thank God, you know, he brought an angel in and it's all gone. But I did see him stamp this compass several times. I just saw it was like this seal on this stamp, and it, bam, on the canvas. And I went, that's a lot of stuff on that canvas, Lord. But he's like, this, and this is what you're to paint at this house. This is what you're supposed to paint at this house, over and over again. So the conference and the coming together of Alaska and the net and the lifting up out of the water and the key, all of it's really prophetic. But he did say, this is for this house.
So good. So I want to share something the Lord spoke to me as well. So I have the privilege of being able to go and dip net. And if you notice, this is the ocean. This isn't the river. That's illegal. but listen, it's not what I want you to get. So we all know a lot of us know there is a line. There's two signs, the mouth of the Kenai River, that form an imaginary line that you have to be aware of whenever you're fishing. And if you go past it, you literally can get in trouble. And so Rachel and I were talking this morning, and she pointed out, this is not the river, this is the ocean. And anyway, I heard the Lord say, I'm opening up new boundaries, new territories. That which was not ready or not available is being made ready and made available in this season, in this time. You know that I think I may have shared a little bit about this last week, but there was a period of time, it literally was about 7 years, where Jesus was here on the earth and started his earthly ministry. And he spoke and said, I'm not here but for the lost house of Israel. When the woman had come and asked for her portion, if you will, and they started this whole dialogue. And you know, we know the story, right? Even the dogs get what drops from the master's table. Does that ring a bell? Okay. That's when Jesus said, I'm only here but for the lost sheep of Israel at that time. And that went all the way till God had opened up for Paul he said, the time has come now for you to go and begin to speak this message to the Gentiles. And so there was about a seven-year period where there was a boundary, in a sense, of God fishing in an area, and then suddenly it was the time was right, the fullness of time came, and the boundaries were shifted, and things were opened up, and God had nets begin to be dropped in areas where nets were not allowed to be. Now, I recognize that in the ocean, set netters and things like that can go out there, but a dip netter can't. And so individual people are not allowed to go out there in their boats and dip net like that. So now, that's not all this painting means. I'm just sharing an aspect of something the Lord had showed me about a season and a time we're stepping into. And so with that said, I want to pray and begin to unfold the word of the Lord today. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the wind that carries your word, Lord. Thank you that we have ears to hear today. We have eyes to see. Lord, hearts that are open and ready to receive what you want to say to us today. I pray, Lord, that we have no preconceived ideas of how things should go, would go, are going to go, whatever. We want you. We want the fullness of what you want to put, drop in this house and in our hearts and in our lives today. We're here to hear from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I got good news. I have like literally not a single scrap of note. So it's going to be fun. So I want to start by quoting to you Amos chapter 9, and I'm just going to be obedient to what I'm hearing the Lord say. In the Bible, you have what would be considered minor prophets and major prophets. Do we know that about the Bible? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, and it's not a negative thing if you don't know that. But if you don't, in the Old Testament, there are different prophets. Some were called major prophets, some were called minor prophets. And this morning when we were in prayer here, I really felt strongly that the Lord said, no longer will anything be considered minor or major, but I'm bringing all things into alignment to where I want them to be, and they will not be. We know there's no such thing as junior Holy Ghost, right? Like, our kids don't suddenly get like a smidgen of God, and when they grow up like us big people, they suddenly get more of God. I recognize a maturing process. I recognize those things. But we need to stop seeing each other and stop seeing God in a way that somehow there's a minor league and a major league. God is calling us all up to the majors. So Amos is speaking to the house of Israel. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not, again, sure how to say what I'm thinking other than just saying it, but America is not Israel. Hear what I'm saying. To try and take America and put it in the place of Israel in the Bible, like in other words, when you read and you read words to Israel and you go, oh, that's to America, that's not a good idea. But to put yourself in that place is okay. Do you hear what I'm saying? So here's the reason I'm sharing this. Because sometimes we read words like what I'm going to quote out of Amos 9, and we go, yeah, but that's to Israel. And some people want to go, yeah, but we can put America there. No, I'm telling you, God is wanting to put you there. And so in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, it starts out, he's talking about a repairing of the breached walls, a repairing of that which has been broken or torn down. By Amos 9:13, verse 13, he begins to say this, which is the word I believe the Lord is wanting to bring today, and that is, there is a time and a season coming where the harvester will overtake the sower. Do you know what that means? Like, can you imagine being in a field and like you're out there trying to plant seeds and here comes the harvester, you know, coming through, grabbing the crop. There is a shifting that's taking place. It says this in the same verse 13 or 14. It says that those trotting wine, those who are stepping on grapes, crushing them to make wine, will overtake those who are sowing the seeds of grapes. So listen to what I'm telling you right now. I'm not saying we're in that season currently, but I'm telling you we are upon that season. That it is rapidly shifting and coming to a time where the harvester will overtake the sower. We're coming into the beginning of that season, and we must be able to see ourselves correctly by seeing Him correctly. And as we see Him correctly, we understand that we are not in the minors. We are called to the majors. So I want to turn to Jonah. This is where it's going to get exciting and fun. I love to preach out of Jonah. So I am just going to read Jonah chapter 1 and unfold some things for you, tie all this together, and tell you how it fits in your life. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it's on page 1226 in my Bible. Anybody else on that same page? Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He's literally running from his calling. He's literally running from the destiny, the thing that God has culminated all his prophetic unctions, all of his ability to hear, all of his life is coming to a head in this moment, and he's running. He's supposed to be going west. He's now going east. He needs a compass, right? But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up or be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, "Wow, did you notice all the downs?" Listen, I'm just going to read a couple. This just jumped out to me. Jonah arose, this is back in verse 3. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. This great wind happened. Jonah went down into the lower parts of the ship, and he laid down to go to sleep. Some of y'all need to get up. Some of you have been knocked down and you're feeling down and everything around you feels down and everything happening, you're focused on the downward spiral of everything around you, and God is calling you up, not down. I know I'm speaking a little strong, but I'm feeling like the enemy is causing people to be so focused on this whole down thing that it feels like everything around you seems like it's going down. It's not. No. Am I speaking to anybody today? Are you seeing this like I'm seeing this? Can I tell you this? There is a price for going down. And did you see who paid the price? Jonah. In the beginning, Jonah paid the fare and went down. There is a price that the enemy wants you to pay. So Jonah's down. And he's asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper?" I like that. That's one of my favorite parts of this whole story. I don't know why. "Arise." There you go. That's why. "Arise. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come. Let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Big surprise. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" That's a lot of questions. "Get up. Who are you?" That's what, I mean, couldn't, anyway, sorry. That seems easy to me. "Get up. Who are you? What are you doing?" So he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid. "I'm a Hebrew, and I serve the God who made everything." And they went, "Oh." Right? Like, is that how you see it? "Oh. No." They freaked out. They were afraid. So Jonah says this. Men were seeing afraid. "Why?" Or they said, "Why have you done this? What's wrong with you?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up." Yeah, pick me up and throw me in the sea. Right? Pick me up, throw me. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Now, they must not have been that afraid. Or maybe they were so afraid, they didn't even know what to do. Like they're, "Who are you? What are you doing? Yada, yada. I'm a Hebrew. Serve the God who made everything. Oh my gosh, we're freaking out. You ran from God. We know that. This is because of you. What are we supposed to do? Pick me up, throw me in the sea." No. And he said to them, "Pick me up, throw me in the sea. It'll calm. Because this is because of me." Verse 13. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land." Rowed harder, but they could not. It was wasted effort. For the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Just real quick on a real simplistic level as you're looking at this. Two things I want you to grab out of what we just read. There are, okay, three things maybe. First of all, this is not a passenger ship. This is actually either a grain ship or a cargo ship of some sort. Their entire purpose was to carry cargo, not people. They needed a crew. But they were not a passenger ship. But did you notice the first thing they started breaking alliances with? When they got scared and the storm came, they began to throw overboard the very thing they were created to do. I'm not saying they should have started chucking people overboard. I'm just saying they were created to carry cargo. Things got rough and the first thing they did was went, nope. What about you? What do you do when things get hard? What do you do when things start looking sideways on you? You start throwing things overboard that God said, I want you to carry this. I need you to do this. Okay, Lord, I'm created to do that. Now the storm comes and we go, no! Let me give you an example. Those of you who are married in this place, God brought you together, right? When things get hard, do not let the first thing you respond to throwing that overboard, right? Now, this is no slight on anyone who has been divorced or anyone, like, do you hear me? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am not coming against you. I'm just giving an example. Can I give you another one? So you've got friendships or relationships that things go a little bit sideways or get a little bit hard. If you're in covenant relationship with someone, don't throw that overboard because things get hard. Don't throw that. You need each other. The body of Christ, we are in covenant relationship with each other. Regardless of whether you're a part of this church or that church or whatever, we have a tendency to go, I don't like what you believe or what you think. I'm going to throw you overboard and I'm going to go do this over here. Or I'm going to, do you hear me? Sometimes people struggle with things like alcoholism or whatever, and they do really well for a while, and something goes sideways on them, and oftentimes they throw their sobriety overboard and jump right back into the bottle. Hey, I've been there. I know. Okay, so this is again no condemnation, no slight. I've done. Yeah, enough stuff in my life. I've made enough mistakes. I know I only look like I'm 21 or so. Okay, not really. But I know what it's like to grab a hold of things and the minute things go sideways, begin to start throwing things overboard, looking for some sort of stability, looking for the storm to stop. But can I tell you this? If you were created to carry it, don't throw it overboard. If you were created to be in relationship with people that are around you, do not throw them overboard. Now, with that said, there are times, there are reasons, and there are seasons that you remove yourself from unhealthy and relationships that are abusive or, things like this. So please, I'm not trying to box all this up and go, this is the way it is every single time. Just trying to encourage you, don't throw things overboard that God said, hold these things. Okay. So they begin to throw the thing they were created for overboard. Then they hear the word of the Lord through Jonah, who's running from the word of the Lord. And he says, pick me up, throw me in. God will cause all this to stop. They were so scared that they might be judged for doing something wrong by throwing the man of God overboard that they refused to do it. and tried with all their effort to make something else happen. Grab this word. Listen to what I'm saying. There are risks that God has called you to take. And oftentimes when you're faced with it in the reality of, I don't know that there's a safety net down there. I like calculated risk. I like things that I know if I step, there's going to be something to catch me. Therefore, I think I'll try to paddle a little bit closer to shore. So if I have to jump, I can land on some solid ground. Do you understand? So they were okay, I think, with getting rid of Jonah. They just wanted to make sure he'd make it. But he didn't say that. He just said, pick me up, throw me in, and God will be good to you and you'll be okay. So in our lives, the destiny, the call, the things that we were created to do, that we've got to stop adding our own efforts and mixes into it, trying to make it happen. Because can I tell you this? If you can make it happen, it isn't God. Like, it isn't big enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the call of God in your life. If you can make it happen, you're not dreaming big enough. You're not hearing big enough. You're not thinking big enough, because we can make an awful lot of things happen. We can make an awful lot of things take place in our life. And I'm not saying God's hand isn't on them, but that is not the ultimate thing that God has called you to do and be if you can do it all in your own effort. So watch this. So pick me up, throw me overboard. Let's go to verse 14. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Can you see it? They're like, man, we've tried. We're rowing. Lord, we're going to throw your man overboard. So please. He told us to. We're only doing what we believe. You do you get it? Like, they're freaking out still. Don't let his life be on our hands, and do not charge us with the innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. Yet they like converted here. They are full on believers at this point. Verse 15. So they picked up Jonah and they threw him in the sea. Again, my favorite verse in this whole thing. Okay. And the sea ceased from its raging. Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. What in the world did they sacrifice? I don't know. And what does take vows? Lord, I swear we're Jesus followers now. I don't know. I mean, I know the time. I'm just, anyway. Now the Lord had prepared. If you read this out of the Amplified Version, it says it this way. Now the Lord had a prepared, appointed, anointed is not the right word. I got to look it up because you're, that's what it says. It only says those two words? I thought there was a third. The Lord prepared and appointed. This says a great fish. It's funny because if you read different commentaries and different thoughts about this story, people will tell you things like this. There are no fish that are capable of swallowing a human whole, keeping them in their belly alive for 3 days. God prepared and appointed. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what God may have done to this sea creature of whatever sort it was. All I know is God prepared and appointed for a fish to be that big, to swallow a human whole. And for him to be in the belly for 3 days.
Yeah, he probably smelled like fish worse than your studio did. But
how many years does a fish have to live to be that big? I'm not saying that God couldn't have went, boom, fish big enough. But that's not preparing, and that's not appointing. From the time this fish was a little bitty fry, this is my story, I'm going to tell it like I want to. God began to speak to this fish. I've got big plans for you, son. I'm not saying the fish was his son. It's just the way I'm talking. I got big plans for you. One day when I call on you, I'm going to need you to respond. Now, I've put it in you, the ability to respond. I have begun to prepare your insides and your outsides and your mouth and your guts. And I've prepared you from the time I thought of you, knowing what was about to take place. Do you hear me? I don't foresee God being caught off guard and going, oh gosh, Jonah's about to be thrown overboard. Fish. Let's see. You're big. Come on. Come over here. Swallow this guy. Yeah, great white. Oh, no, wait, not you. I wasn't pointing at you. God prepared and appointed a great fish to carry out his plan that he knew Jonah was going to turn his back on. You talk about a second chance, right? Now look, Jonah's in this fish 3 days. And Jesus refers to this portion of Scripture too, which lets me know it's 100% true. Not that I had to question whether it was, but it affirms for me that it's a real fish, a real story, a real man, a real, you know, like this was not a figure of, Jonah got caught in a net and there was some fish in it. And, you know, we embellished it a little bit. No, Jonah was in the belly of a whale. Now, by verse 10 of chapter 2, so Jonah's in this whale 3 days. If you watch VeggieTales, he made a fire in it and stuff. But I don't know about that. But so he begins to pray. He cries out to God. Now, I don't know what that prayer looked like as far as like what exactly he said or... I recognize that there's a little inklings and understanding of some of the things he said, but I would have loved to have seen what that actually looked like. But verse 10 of chapter 2 of Jonah says this. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Listen. God prepared and appointed this great fish from the time he was itty bitty till the time he became great big. Now, maybe he was born this big. Maybe he was born my size. I don't know. But he was little. And God began to prepare him. God told him, I need you to go and do this. And when the time comes, I need you to take your cargo that you're carrying and I need you to begin to swim hard. And I need you to swim east. And I need you to keep going, or west, or whatever direction it was. I don't remember now. But I need you to swim. So, and when I tell you to, I want you to spit him up where I tell you to. This is not coincidence. It's not, oh, that worked out really well. This was God's preparation from the very beginning. This is the same type of preparation that took place according to Revelation 13:8. It says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. That means that God saw what Adam and Eve were going to do before they ever did it, and he went, I've got a plan. I'm not caught off guard. This is not second place. This is not second best. I've got Jesus already ready to take this sin upon him. I already have a plan of how to redeem man back to me, even though it hasn't even taken place. I have a plan for Jonah, even though he's doing exactly what I've called him to do, but I know one day he's going to turn from his destiny and he's going to begin to go in a wrong direction. But it's okay, because I have a backup plan that's ready and in place to take him to where he needs to be, because I know he's going to respond to me in a place of darkness, in a place of doubt, in a place of confusion, in a place of hurt, in a place of feeling alone and sick and feeling like everything around me has gone down, down, down. I know that Jonah is going to turn his heart to me and not turn his heart away from me. And so I've made a way for him to make it back into this city. Now I want to tell you what happens. This is so cool, but I want you to begin to see this in your life, because some of us have been called like Jonah. Some of us, God has put plans, we all have destinies, plans, goals, those things that God has put in place. But some of us have turned away from it and we've gone, I know that God said this to me, but I'm so far over here now, I just don't see any way to make my way back onto that road and back in where God told me to go and doing what God told me to do. God called me, told me I was supposed to be a pastor, but I'm way over here now, and that's not even a possibility. I'm now, this old and whatever. Or God told me that I was to be a missionary to Africa, and my life actually took a weird turn over here, and I actually am so far away from that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Those are just a couple things. There's so many others you could fill in that blank. But maybe that's not you at all. Can I tell you who you might be? You might just be the fish. You might just be the one that God has been preparing for some time now to help pick his plan up and get it where it needs to be. And maybe you feel like you stink. Maybe you feel like, I don't have anything to give. All that I have seems to be out of place and out of sorts, and it doesn't seem to fit. I've got a lot of things wrong with me. So I don't know how that could possibly be, that God could take a smelly, nasty thing like the belly of a fish and actually put it in his plan. Maybe you're both of those things. Again, I've done both. I've been around the corner knowing I really feel like God's calling me to do this, but man, this just seems like it's right now. Not sin, not bad, but it just seems like it's a lot easier going. I don't like the storms. I don't like the negative. I don't like the hard things. I don't like, So watch this. Jonah spit up onto dry land. This is chapter 3. Jonah spit up onto dry land. And in, I think it's verse 1. Yes. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go take a shower, and go to Nineveh. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, make sure you're all cleaned up, you smell right, you look right. They say that Jonah would have been so disgusting Like, his skin would have potentially been, like, bleh, whatever that is. And it would have been pale and nasty, and he'd have stunk like stomach bile. Makes sense. Now, I'm not saying God couldn't have done something different than that. I'm not saying that God didn't prepare, like, a rubber suit for Jonah in the belly. I don't know. But I know that my first instinct would be, I need to clean up before I go do anything. I don't want anybody to see me like this. I don't want anybody to know about this. Nobody's going to listen to me. Do you know where I've been? Do you know what I've got on me? Jonah, get up. Go to Nineveh, the great city. Great being large. This was a giant city. It was a big city, and they hated Jews, and Jews hated them. I would have clarified that a long time ago, but it's okay. So Jonah arose. Oh, sorry, left out a part. Preach to it the message that I tell you. Verse 3. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Listen to this. This is how big Nineveh was. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great or large city, a 3-day journey in extent. If you're reading out of the New American Standard, it says, actually, I want to read it the way it says it, because I really like the way, give me 1 second, because it's just one part I want to read out of it that I really liked. So, it's an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. Then Jonah, this is verse 4, then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk and cried out. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. What should have taken 3 days took 1. There was an acceleration that took place. Jonah knew that he had to bring the word of the Lord. Jonah knew that it was going to take him 3 days to walk through the city and begin to proclaim the word of the Lord for 3 days. Because he wasn't called to just go to the city limits and go, hey guys, repent or you're dead. God told him, I want you to go and tell the entire city of Nineveh that I'm giving them an opportunity to turn away from what they've been doing, to return to me, and I'll save them. So what would have taken 3 days took 1. Jonah goes into the city. Now, I don't know exactly like who he ran into or what it looked like. I don't know if they had a stadium full of people. I don't know. I doubt it. But it says Jonah went in, and that's basically what he did. Guys, turn or burn. Fly or fry later. Okay, he didn't say it exactly like that, but basically. Yeah. Listen. You got 40 days to get things straight or God's killing you. That's the word. And it says that the people so responded to the word of the Lord that from the richest to the poorest, even their animals began to fast. Like, they responded to the word of the Lord, and then Jonah, of course, was mad. He's like, I knew it! This is why I didn't want to come. Your word is true. Right? Here it is. I believe that we are moving into a season of a supernatural acceleration where the harvester will overtake the sower. Where those who are treading on wine will actually overtake those who are sowing seed. Where something that should take 3 days takes 1 day.
where no matter if I don't have everything figured out or everything straight, if I bring the word of the Lord, those who I bring it to will respond, and they will respond in a way that is unlike anything we've ever seen before. But the first thing we need to do is get ourselves out of this place of being down and begin to arise, not saying pick yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm saying get a different view. Stop looking at all the negative things around you and all the, look, I'm not trying to take away any pain or difficulty you might be going through. I'm not belittling it. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying you shouldn't grieve. I'm not saying, please, hear what I'm telling you. The enemy has a trap that is costing you this downward spiral that doesn't end in a place of victory. It ends in a place of depression. And God is trying to bring you out of a depressed place. Wow. Sorry. I left out a part of Amos chapter 9 that you need to hear. It says this: the mountains will drip with wine and the hills will flow with it. Sorry, just that was the whole stomping on the grave, overturning, mountains drip, hills full. But God needs you to respond to His word. Maybe you know exactly where you've either gone off course or gone a different direction than where you know you're supposed to be. And again, this isn't about like you're living a sinful lifestyle. Maybe you are. But this is more about, I feel like I'm so far away from what God originally put in my heart to do. And I feel like I don't see a way back. God has prepared a fish for you. God has prepared a way for you to come back into the alignment that He called you to be in. God has made a way for you to be brought back into the place where you are smack in the middle of what He called and put on your life, what you're desiring deep in the core of who you are, that you know at some point it was too risky, or your life just went a different direction or whatever. And so stand up. We need to respond to what the Lord is saying. So that might be you. Or maybe you feel like, I know that there's something that God has been preparing me for. And maybe I'm not called to lead a movement, or maybe I'm not called to be the head of this or that, but I know that I can help pick people up and carry them. I know that I can be a support. I know that I can respond to what God put in my heart to do, and I can help lift other people up and get them where they need to be. And I can be one who, maybe I don't have everything figured out in my life. Maybe I don't look right, smell right, whatever. But I can help lift, and I can help bring things into where God is saying, bring them here, drop them here, do this, support here, go there, give to this, do that. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I want to give us an opportunity to respond to the Lord today. And you know where you are. You know what's going on in you. And so I want to encourage you to don't just leave and go, oh, that was a good word, you know, whatever. Respond to what He's saying. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to have the prayer team come, and you're not responding to a man. You're responding to our God, who is saying, I am waiting. I'm ready. I'm ready to shift you. I'm ready to lock you back in where you need to be. So, Father, thank You that as we respond, You in kind respond to us, that You bring us into the proper alignment, proper order, the right direction, You give us the right provisions to do the things that You have called and set in motion in our lives. Lord, from the foundation of the world, You had each one of us thought out, planned out, and desires and purposes for us.
And so, Lord, I pray that there would be nothing that would stop us from stepping in today to the place that you want us to be. That no matter how far downward we've been taken, that today we choose to arise. We choose to be picked up and placed in the order that you've called us to be in. We love you, Lord, and we give you glory and honor. We thank you for all that you're doing, all the things we can see and the things we have not yet seen that we know that we're standing on the precipice of. I declare to you today a time of acceleration, a time of renewed strength and energy to carry out what God is calling you to do. So I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to respond to the word of the Lord, I want you to come and respond.